Hello everyone, my name is Lindsay and today I'm going to discuss stigmas that surround mental illness and some ways to reduce them. So I wanted to talk about mental health because it affects so many people and many times you may not even know if someone close to you is struggling. Mental health also impacts our well-being and is very prevalent in society. In fact, according to Mental Health America, over 44 million American adults have a mental health condition. The number of youths who struggle with mental health is increasing constantly as well. However, many Americans who are experiencing mental health conditions still have unmet needs or do not seek help when they need it. Even though so many people struggle with mental illness, there's still a strong stigma and discrimination attached to it. The Mental Health Foundation says that nearly 9 in 10 people with mental health problems admit that discrimination and stigmas negatively affect their health. Those who are stigmatized and discriminated against find it more difficult to be socially included, get a good job, decent housing, or even have a long-term relationship. So by reducing mental illness stigmas, more people who are struggling might feel comfortable to seek help or even just to confront or talk about it. It can also improve the way people are treated. In order to understand mental health stigmas, we must know what that means. A public stigma is the general public's discriminatory response, whereas a self-stigma is the internalization of a public stigma. Many factors go into stigmas, but cultural norms can definitely determine indicators of mental health. We learn from Lecture 3 that our culturally formed attitudes about mental health also help determine if stereotypes are endorsed or if stigmatization will occur. For example, going off what Dr. Downing taught us, people of Asian descent have values of conformity to the norm and emotional self-control. Because of this, they may stigmatize mental health because it's not considered normal or acceptable. People of Middle Eastern descent may be raised to conceal emotions and therefore may stigmatize individuals if they talk openly about theirs. People of European descent value individualism, autonomy, and independence. So if people seek help from others about their mental health, they could be stigmatized too. This is how stigmas work, according to the article we had to read for Module 3. First, individuals are labeled or branded as a member of a group. This can be a clinical diagnostic label, treatment status, or a derogatory term. Then, association is made between these labels and a corresponding stereotype about mental illness, such as being out of control, dangerous, or untreatable. Social separation then occurs, like an us versus them situation. Then negative connotations about mental illness lead to behavioral consequences like distancing oneself or discrimination. Finally, power. The people who label or stereotype have the power to make social disadvantages for those they discriminate against. And some people think that people with mental illnesses are more dangerous or even violent, but when in reality this is usually untrue. Stigmas can also worsen someone's mental health because they're receiving so much negative attention. I believe that America's drug-taking culture and society is somewhat harmful towards those who do have trouble with mental health. We expect people to handle their problems on their own and keep it to themselves. In addition to the issues people face with mental illness, like having relationships or finding jobs, like I mentioned earlier, because of negative stigmas, people may also not seek treatment or not feel comfortable talking about it, or maybe even realizing that they have a mental health condition. Joining me today is licensed clinical therapist, Kristen. I'm just going to ask her a few questions about her work experience. So, how do stigmas impact the patients you see?
Well, I think a big part of it, there's two different issues that impact it. One is financial, mm-hmm. and then one is the fact that even disorders like anxiety and depression are considered mental illness.
Yeah.
And they're actually a medical diagnosis. I think especially kind of the lower income families or people don't understand that today it's a lot more acceptable than it used to be, that there's help accessible even to lower income families. Because I think in the past, it was kind of considered middle class and wealthy people, it was acceptable because they had the means to deal with it. And the lower, less income class felt more stigmatized because A, they didn't have the resources to get the help they needed, and B, they don't have the same level of education.
Yeah.
So
how would you suggest reducing stigmas so more people can
get the help?
Education is the biggest key. And I think for the populations that are difficult to reach, because you know they could be in a rural setting or they don't have a lot of communications with people outside of, say, like their individual communities and stuff. I think the media plays a really big part in educating people. So, you know, commercials on TV, talking about it on the radio, having the insurance companies send out, you know, information that's easy to read and easy to understand. And then having that, those community connectors from the insurance companies reaching out to these people and, you know, talking with them to let them know that there's nothing wrong. It's like any other medical condition that can be treated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, in my opinion, so much more accepted than it used to be. I just feel like people need access more than anything else.
So Kristen is actually my mom, and I just wanted to share that I have personally struggled with anxiety like ever since I can remember, and I've been so lucky to have her as a mother because I can talk to her about my anxiety, but it's also made me realize that so many people aren't this lucky and they don't have anyone to talk to about their mental health. So this is why it's so important that we try to reduce stigmas so more people can get the help that they need. So clearly, America needs to work on reducing stigmas surrounding mental health in order for the health of its population to improve in the future. There are countless ways to do this. We need to change the public's attitude on mental health. In the article I mentioned earlier, Casado suggests that education, protest, and contact can reduce stigmas. Out of these, education is the most important because stigmas are fueled by misinformation and an over-reliance on stereotypes or assumptions. By educating people about different mental illnesses and realizing that a lot of our peers struggle with them can bring more acceptance and a better environment for these people. Individuals can also make a positive change. Create an environment where people like you, people feel like they can talk to you about their mental health. Simply talking to someone about what you're struggling with internally can change someone's day or life for the better. Also, Ohio State has a number of resources if you or someone you know is struggling with mental health. For example, the Wellness Center offers wellness counseling, and the Counseling Center also offers 10 free sessions. So for more information on that, just visit the Ohio State Counseling website, and they will provide you with a lot of information. So that concludes my podcast. Thank you for listening.